Good evening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter number 18 tonight. We live in some trying times in our world today, do we not? We are being tested left and right. There are a lot of things that are going on that are very ungodly in our world. As Pastor said earlier, it's amazing that for the last 3 months we've heard so much about COVID and how everybody's infected by it and how you can die just like that. And all of a sudden, something changes it, and now they're no longer talking about COVID. Now they're focused on the other thing in life. So with that being said, since COVID is apparently open, parents can go about doing their business as normal. Why do you say that? To be honest, I got to get something off my chest. My mom and dad, they're in their 70s. And I am not their parent. It's not up to me to tell them what to do and how to live their lives. But unfortunately, we have a lot of folks that are telling their parents what to do, and that's unfortunate. I don't have that right. Matter of fact, if my mom and dad said, go jump off the bridge, and I'll go jump off the bridge. Hopefully, mom will say, don't do it, son. Your dad's being crazy at this point in time. Just say how far. But I find it interesting. I'm 45 years of age. I have no right to tell my mom and dad to stay home. None whatsoever. That's their business. If they want to go out, I'll be honest with you, I worried about it at first. Then I thought to myself, well, he came through what he came through because God had his hand on him. Mom came through what she came through because God had his hand upon him. So how's this any different? And so mom and dad, you can go back out to playing again. Just thought I'd let you know that. Go swing on the swings, hit the monkey bars, do what you want to do. You're able to play once again. But be in by 8 o'clock because rides are taking place. You know, during COVID, we didn't have a curfew. Now we have a curfew. It's crazy what we're going through in our world. But you know what? This shows us what we need, does it not? It shows us that we need Jesus Christ. Be thankful tonight that you have called upon the Lord as your Savior. And this isn't our home. This is just a temporary passing place. One of these days, very soon, in our future, it could be tomorrow, we can go to bed tonight, close our eyes, and the next time we wake up, we can be in the presence of the Lord. And that's exciting when you think about what we have to inherit. I feel sorry for those folks. I was dealing with somebody this week, and they came up to me and he said, this is a sign of the times. Now we're going to see the mark of the beast. And I flat out looked at the three and four of them that were standing there, and I said, I don't have nothing to worry about. And they looked at me, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to heaven. Well, what about us? I said, it's not my fault you rejected Christ. And they looked at me and they're baffled. And I said, it's serious, guys. If you want to go where I'm going, all you got to do is accept Christ, your Lord and Savior. And I left it alone at that. And I've had some folks talk to me. We have a great opportunity to be a witness to folks in our world right now. So we have an opportunity to be like Peter and Paul and James and Barnabas and Silas in our world today. We have that great opportunity. And I hope we capitalize on those things. I'm taking what the Democrats said a few years ago, never let a good crisis go to waste. We're in a crisis, capitalize on it, amen? Seriously, think about those things. Anyway, I need to get off my soapbox here real quick. There, I'm off. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you tonight that we don't serve a dead Savior tonight. We serve a living God who gave us his living Son so that he could die for our sins so that we can have eternal life with you. God, tonight, as we are surrounded in a world of chaos tonight, and a lot of uncertainty lies ahead for many people, God, help us to be a voice to point them to you. God, only you can give the peace and the comfort that this world so desperately needs. God, I thank you for not only saving my soul from hell to heaven, but I thank you, Lord, for the ones in here that have testified to that very same thing. Lord, our destination wasn't a good place, but God, you changed that around. Help us to be that voice for someone else so they can have what we have as well. We ask it in your name. Amen. Well, in the book of Acts chapter 17 last week, we dealt with the apostles here that they were turning the world upside down. Would you not like to be involved in something where you were had the part of turning the world upside down? I mean, wouldn't that be exciting to be like that? Well, what if God called you into the ministry and you begin to preach messages and thousands and maybe millions of people came to know the Lord as their Savior, and that's turning the world upside down? What if God called you to the ministry and you begin to use your gifts, such as piano playing, Sunday school teacher, special music, and through that, you're able to turn the world upside down by souls coming to know the Lord as their Savior? That would be exciting, would it not? And this is what Paul and his buddies were known for. They were known for going from city to city, preaching the gospel. And as they went from city to city, we realized that in Scripture, they were not welcome very long there. Matter of fact, I can just imagine them coming in like circuit riders. They would come in and they would give the message, and before you know it, they would have to leave because their very lives were threatened because they were teaching God's word. And as you go on a scripture and you begin to understand the life of Paul, he spent a good majority of his ministry in the prison. And I often wonder, why did he spend so much time in prison? I believe it was during those times God was protecting him. Because think about what was taking place in his life. He would go out, he'd preach, people come knock on his door looking for him, hey, we want to kill you and torment you and all those things. And God put him in, I shouldn't say God put him in prison, but they put him in prison. And I believe during that time, God protected him. Without a doubt, Paul experienced some heartaches along the way in his walk with the Lord. Nobody's ever said walking with Jesus is ever going to be easy. We can probably go around this room tonight, and there'll be many testify would say, my walk with Christ hasn't been easy. But we can also finish a sentence like this: it has been great. Does that make sense? It hasn't been easy, but it's been great. Paul here, his life has been turned upside down. We know where he came from. We know where he's at now. He has become, I believe, at this point in time in his life, very skilled in preaching, very knowledgeable in the Word of God, and he's able to go out and he's able to give the gospel. But he's faced with opposition along the way. And unfortunately, a lot of people who face opposition usually will throw in the towel and they will want to quit because they can't handle the pressure. And I'm going to be honest with you, there are times where you get up and you begin to preach and you might face some opposition. And there's times where I've honestly have said, man, is this really worth it? But when I wake up the next day, I say, most definitely it is worth it. It's worth going through those trials and those heartaches so that you can do what God has called you to do. And so without a doubt, he faced opposition, but Paul was also very excited for what he was able to do. He had a lot of lost time. Remember, he spent a majority of his time persecuting Christians as well. So let's pick up with Paul here in chapter number 18. I got to get something to drink, or otherwise I'm going to be suffering through the rest of the service. And I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I feel like I got, not to be gross, but a piece of hair going down my throat. And I hate to do a loogie to get it up and go all over Shelly. That wouldn't be pretty tonight. Yeah, I think it just went down my throat, so we're good. Let's begin reading these scriptures. We're going to read chapter 18, verse number 1 through verse number 10. And we're not going to finish in verse number 10. I'm going to leave the last verse later on. It says, after these sayings, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Now, understand, they had quite the distance to travel. If you were to get on an airplane tonight and you look at the map, most airplanes, you have your point of destination. If you have a television in front of you, it'll show you from where you've taken off to where you're going to land. And when I went to Israel last year, the guy in front of me decided that instead of watching TV the whole entire time, which what I would have preferred that he did, but instead he left that dumb thing on from takeoff to landing, and that plane taking off over and over again. And so I saw our destination going from here, going back. It was just one of those things. But as I saw the map many different occasions, I saw where Rome is. And once you get to Rome over the air, you probably have another 4 hours of airtime just to get there. So they traveled a great distance to get from Rome to where they're at. And it says here, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for their occupation. They were tent makers. And that was usually back then, that was their form of currency to get money back then. They were either fishermen, they were either tent makers. And the other thing that they would do, they were masonries. They would begin to build things out of bricks and we can say concrete. It wasn't concrete back then, but that's how they were able to build things back then. And I believe that's what Jesus was very skilled in, because you don't see much woodwork around in the land of Israel. You see a lot of artifacts that are made out of stone. And I believe Jesus had a great skill in this as well. And so that was their a lot of their occupations. Of course, they lived in tents. And so they were in need of those things. And I can imagine they probably made great money for those things. And so verse number 4 says, and he reasoned in a synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, in the synagogues, to give you a quick picture of what it would look like, again, it was right amongst the towns. Almost every town at this point in time, even to this day, the artifacts are still there. It was in every town right amongst the people. And so they can literally go from their homes within walking distance. It'd probably be from this church here to pastor's house over there, just in a walking distance from their homes to the synagogue. And it says, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse number 5, it says, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. In other words, Paul had a great conviction come over him that he was to go and testify to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And this was a great, I wouldn't say battle for him, but this was a great task for him to take on. It says in verse number 6, it says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. Understand this. A majority of Paul's ministry, as he went out and began to teach and preach, where did he always go first? He would always go to the synagogue. He would always go to them to give them the message. He didn't want to leave them out. And so time and time again, from town, from this town to that town, Paul would go into the synagogue. He would preach the gospel. What would we know what would take place with Paul preaching the gospel at the synagogue? They would reject his message. And so what would happen as they would reject his message or God's message, Paul here, as it was said in Scripture, not to be offended, but he was to shake the dust off from his feet, move from this town and go to the other town. So whether he offended the Jews, they didn't like him, he would go to the Gentiles. Well, why would he go to the Gentiles? Because as you see in Scripture, Gentiles were very well receiving of the gospel. They loved to hear the gospel preached. You can see that thousands of them were saved in Scripture. And they looked forward to his teaching. So he said, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go into the Gentiles. In other words, I have brought you the gospel. you've rejected it. So therefore, hey, don't blame me. It's upon you. You've rejected. Don't look at me. Verse number 7 says, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Again, as the picture that I painted earlier, it's not too far away from his house, the synagogue. It's within walking distance. I wish I can show you pictures of how close they really were. And so verse number 8 says, and Crispus, the chief ruler, can I stop and ask this question? Is that the right pronunciation for this guy's name? Because that's what's been in my head all week, Crispus. Sounds good? Okay, because I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing this right. And Crispus, if not, it's his name now, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Here we see a great picture of a man and his household believing, and then the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. Later on, you'll see in the letters from Paul that he would write to the Corinthians. You would see that took place in while he was in prison to these folks. And then as Paul was being run from town to town, being persecuted by the people coming after him at this point in time, here's something that's going to take place in the life of Paul. The Lord's going to intervene, and he's going to speak to Paul. It says in verse number 9, it says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. I don't know about you folks, but if that was me, I would be scared to death. I would. You can ask my wife. If she's to hear me talk in my sleep at night, it terrifies her. It scares her. Matter of fact, I heard a couple months ago, I was crying out for Jesus. And she thought it was the end of my life. But it terrified her. And I say, I know it sounds funny, but this would really terrify me to have this take place in my life. And here's the words that came out. If your Bible's like mine, it has lettering, meaning Jesus is talking. It says, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. The title of this message tonight is Boldness Under Fire. Tonight, you and I are faced with a great task in our life, and that's to proclaim the name of Jesus. I've had people say, Chad, have you ever get tired about preaching the same thing? No, I will never, ever get tired about preaching Jesus Christ ever in my life, because it is Jesus Christ who has changed my life. But I do know this, that when you're faced with opposition along the way, you become timid, or you might become scared. You might have fear in your life. I will let you in on a little secret of mine. Every time that I step up into a pulpit, I get scared. I am fearful. I was in Twin Cities the other night doing a graduation ceremony, and I was terrified. And I've known these people for a long time. I knew the two girls that were graduating. But I tell you what, I had a great fear come over me. And I had that this morning come over me. 9:15, they start their preaching service at 9:15. And so I'm almost done preaching when people are coming here to Sunday school. And great fear comes over me. But I do know this. There's something that takes place as I'm sitting, whether it be here or whether it be in someone else's church. I always take time to sit up here. And there's times where I don't talk to anybody. And I want you to understand why I don't talk. I want you to understand why I become an introvert before I begin speaking. It's because I am in such great fear, I take time to call upon my Lord. Well, why do you take time to call upon your Lord? Because I need the Lord to calm my nerves so that I can give his gospel the way that he wants to present it. It's not easy all the time. There are some preachers that make it look easy. There are some preachers that make it look effortlessly. But I'm not like that. I get scared. You know, I took swimming lessons when I was the age of 12. I can't remember how many years ago. You do the math, I'm 45. I'm not quick at math. But when I was the age of 12, I took swimming lessons. For 2 weeks, I would jump in the water, and I would try to swim back and forth. And you know what they did at the end of 2 weeks? They'd give you a certificate of your completion upon the course of taking swimming lessons. You know what they did to me? They did not give me a certificate, Q. Matter of fact, the swimming instructors came up to me and said, the reason why you don't get a certificate is because you're scared of water. And I said to myself, duh, that's why I'm here taking swimming lessons. With that being said, it's okay to have a fear. I love swimming to this day. I swim like a fish. And I can sink like a rock. But I love swimming. But no matter how often I go out and swim, I still have a natural fear. Fear's okay. I still have a fear when I get up before the pulpit. But God takes those things away. And I'm glad I get scared. Because I don't ever want to become comfortable. I want God to allow me to get through what I need to get through. But Paul, he's faced opposition. He has faced many challenges in his life. He's been arrested. He's been thrown in prison. He's been stoned to death. Shook the dust off his feet and walked away from that. They thought he was dead. And the Lord knows what he's going through. He knows what he's thinking. He knows his mindset. And now he's faced with another opposition. And now the Lord, he speaks to him in the night by a vision. He says, be not afraid. Folks, even with what's been going on these last 3 to 4 months of our lives, with COVID, even the rioting that's taking place in our world today, you and I, we really have no reason to be feared because we have God in our life. God wants to intervene and work on your behalf. And God wants to protect you. You know, some people might not understand why you have such great peace about things. This is the time when you need to have boldness. That's what it says. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Have boldness. Stand up, proclaim my name to this world that desperately needs me. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? Well, that's the pastor's job. The last time I checked, when you got saved, God called every single one of us into the ministry. You're his voice. Be not afraid, but have boldness. What do we need to have boldness for? So that we can speak. You know, I'm not the most grateful speakers. I understand that, and I know I struggle to find words. Believe me, folks, I have great big words inside my head. They're too big that they just don't come out right. They get lopsided and twisted up in there. But why do we need to be bold? Because we need to speak. Why do we need to speak? Because people need to hear the message. And the Lord is reminding Paul here, don't be afraid, but speak. Be bold. I am with you. Hold not thy peace. Don't let this thing come to pass, and don't allow you to capitalize on this opportunity, but speak about me. The Lord needs to be spoken about. You know, we know so much about each other because we talk to each other, and we know what we like and what we dislike. And that comes about because we take time to spend time with each other, to get to know each other. Well, we need to make Jesus Christ more popular with the world. We need to allow them to know that he exists and that he wants to work and move in their life. This world wouldn't be in the condition that it's in right now if people call upon him as their Lord and Savior. You know, we're soon coming to an end in this world. And I can't wait, to be honest with you. I can't wait for all this to be over. I know I'm younger than a lot of folks in here, a lot of folks, but I'm to the point now where it hurts to get out of bed some mornings. It does, and I can imagine being, I mean, think about what Doc went through on a serious note. To live to be 99 years of age and to get up every single morning, but yet come in here and have a big smile on his face and hug everybody and to be a blessing. Oh, I desire to be someone like that. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. The world needs to hear who Jesus Christ is. And he goes on and he begins to conclude his thought process to Paul. And he says, for I am with thee.
See, we don't need to be afraid. We need to be bold and we need to speak. Why do we need to do these things? Because the Lord is with us. Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord ever left your side? If you have called upon him as your Lord and Savior tonight, I will tell you this. The Lord has never left your side. He's there with us. Some people find such great comfort when they're in a great time of need. I can't even begin to imagine what our pastor and Mrs. Springer has gone through in the last couple years. And the peace that God has just given them. Charlie here recently, having cancer on his hand. Haven't heard a complaint from him. God just gave him peace. Why? Because he's with you, Charlie. He hasn't left you. Man, that's something to be praising God about right now. For I am with thee. And here, as he continues to conclude this, hey, don't be afraid, be bold, speak, hold not thy peace, don't hold back, say what needs to be said, because I'm with thee. And then he goes on and he begins to explain himself even more. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Paul, in other words, I'm going to protect you, and there isn't a man around that's able to set his hand upon you and to physically hurt you. I'm here with you. In other words, he's saying, Paul, they're going to have to go through me first to get to you. That's what they're saying. Look at it like this. If someone wanted to come at my daughter tonight, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shield my daughter, and I'm going to put myself in front of her, and they're going to have to come through me. That's what the Lord is saying to Paul. He's saying, Paul, I'm going to take the darts that they're going to throw at you. I'm going to take the rocks that they're going to try to come your way. I'm going to take the physical abuse. Not only that, Paul, but I'm going to take the verbal abuse. They're going to make fun of you, but you don't have to worry about that because you're not going to hear a word. I'm going to allow your ears to be deaf, and I'm just going to not let it affect you because I'm here in front of you. That is a great hedge of protection when you think about that. That would make any daughter in here tonight feel very secure knowing that their dad's going to protect them. I'm going to be honest with you. If I was Isaac tonight, I'd be scared to death. I'm saying this on a serious note. Because if he used to mess up and to hurt Lindsay, guess what's going to take place in the life of Isaac? He's going to be looking up 6 feet with his eyes closed. Think about that. That's what a father does for his daughter. And I will tell you this, that's what a brother would do for a sister too. And that's what a son would do for his mother. That's what takes place. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And he goes on with this. I like this. For I have much people in the city. I look at this, and I know this might sound funny, but I look at this as the mafia of Jesus. Think about this. I have people in the city. Don't worry about it. You're taken care of. You're protected. You know, we don't have a reason to be afraid tonight. All those times that I get scared and I become afraid, I have to sit there and hang my head in shame because I have no reason to be. Because God says, I need to be bold, and I'm going to take care of you. And I tell you what, this is an encouragement to Paul. Because sometimes it's easy to throw the towel in. It's easy to want to quit, especially when it comes to Monday and you see what has taken place the previous day. But you know what? In the ministry, there's no quitting. There's no quitting. The pastor's going to be 74 years old. And he doesn't talk about retirement. Most preachers his age, they're retired. Because he, and I'm not saying this bad about any of the other preacher, but in his mind, this is what he loves doing. and he doesn't want to stop. And we might have to drag him out of here one day. But if that's the case, at least he goes doing what he loves doing. And as a son, I can't tell him to stop. Amen? For I am with thee, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. And now look at what takes place in the life of Paul. Something unusual takes place. Because we're seeing Paul doing what? Moving and moving and moving and moving. Paul's never really setting up a place. He's never really getting to know folks at this point in time. But now, after this vision that was given him, after the Lord spoke to him, it says in verse number 11, it says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You see what this vision did for Paul? It gave him more confidence in God. Now, I want you to think about this. From this point on to the year and 6 months that is being talked about in Scripture right now, we don't know of what took place in the life of Paul, physically or mentally. But what we do know is he stayed for almost 2 years, giving his time to these folks. See, at this point in time, Paul really didn't have a time to develop a relationship and a friendship with these folks. He'd just come in, give a message, walk out of the town. Now he's there. Now he's developing a relationship. And some amazing things begin to happen. So I say to you tonight, our boldness is under fire. Are you going to stand up tonight and begin to be bold and be not afraid, as Paul has been told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Yeah, we might face some opposition. We might face some scary times. But folks, we know the game plan. It's no surprise to us. God clearly gives it out in the book of Revelation of what's going to take place. We're victorious. And there's nothing to be scared about. I've wasted so many years, and I say this not to be funny, but I've wasted so many years putting my head in a corner and sucking my thumb because of fear. And there's no need for that, because I have a Lord and Savior who's on my side and who wants to protect me the same way that he protected Paul. And it wasn't just Paul. It's the rest of the disciples and the apostles as well. And he's still doing that to this day. I don't know about you, but I'm excited tonight, Shelley, that we serve a God who cares about us. Who cares about our, not only our spiritual needs, but he cares about us financially. You know, he's an open bank. He really is. Think about it. God, I'm in need. Would you please supply? God's always taking care of my needs. He's got an endless bank account. It's amazing the God that we serve. Do you know I was on my way to hell? You know what I did? The Holy Spirit convicted me. He says, hey, you need to call upon me. You know what I did? I called upon him. Gary, he saved my soul. We serve an amazing God. And he wants to work in your life and in my life. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. And pastor wants to dismiss us after that. It's up to him. But I'm just going to pray. And if he has nothing to say, then we can walk out of here tonight. I will say this. Please be careful going home. If you don't have to go on Broadway, don't go on Broadway. Go somewhere else. Take the long way around if you have to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night you've given us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your safety. God, we pray that you would still continue to intervene in our hearts and our lives. God, help us to have the boldness that we need to have as we face this world. Help us not be scared and cower in the corner, but Lord, help us to stand up and to be strong in your name. And we ask it in your name. Amen.